Well, as I mentioned, if you could turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Well, I've got a bit of an outline for my message, or the title of my message this morning is, What Made the Wise Men Wise? You ever thought about that? What made the wise men wise? Well, I've got three things that made them wise. The wise men accepted God's light. The wise men acknowledged God's scriptures. And the wise men adored God's Saviour. And you'll be a wise man or a wise woman if you do the same things that the wise men did at the time of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to look at the first point here. The wise men accepted God's light. If you go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. As you read that passage of scripture, you realise that God gave the wise men a heavenly light. And they saw that in their homeland. Their homeland was in the east. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly where it was. We can assume where it was, but it was in the east. And they saw this wonderful light in the heavens. I think, and some commentators think, that the wise men possibly travelled from Babylon. And you remember the prophet Daniel was in Babylon there. And so they saw this light hundreds of miles away from Bethlehem. And they recognised that that light was actually a message from the Lord. I wonder, has there been a time, and these wise men, they took an enormous effort, or made an enormous effort, to discover where Jesus was. And if you're a wise person, you'll make an enormous effort in your life to discover who the Lord Jesus is. Hundreds of miles, possibly a dangerous journey they travelled to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. These men were earnest about searching for the Lord Jesus. And I wonder, has there been a time in your life where you've earnestly searched for Jesus, where you've discovered who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Saviour of the world? God gave these men from a pagan country, he gave them some light. And I truly believe that God gives every single person that's ever been born some light of who he is. God wants to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the scriptures tell us in 2 Peter 3 verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. The Apostle John, when he was writing about the Lord Jesus, he said this of Jesus, That was the true light, talking about Jesus, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. We've got a God who desires to save all mankind. And the Bible says that Jesus is a light, and Jesus as a light gives light to every man that comes into the world. Well, there's a number of ways that God gives people light today so that they might come to know him. Let me give you just a few ways. God gives light to people through his wonderful world. You look out the windows today. You look out the windows tonight. And every star in the sky is beaming the truth about God, that God is the creator. So every man has light through the wonderful world that he has made. Romans 1 verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God gives light in his creation. No man will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know anything about you at all. God will say, I gave you lights. I gave you creation. God gives light through the wonderful world. Secondly, God gives light through the wonderful word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a lamp to humanity. Now, there's plenty of people throughout the world that don't have Bibles in their homes, but God says sends missionaries, and I think just about every nation on this earth has received a missionary that has taken God's word to that nation. Thirdly, God gives light through his wonderful Son. John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Lord Jesus, when people stood face to face with Jesus, they stood face to face with the living God. When they stood face to face with Jesus, they saw the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, God gives light to the nations through his wonderful witnesses. And there's two wonderful witnesses that I want to speak about this morning. God gives the nations the witness of his Spirit, and God gives the nations the witness of his people. John spoke of the witness of the Holy Spirit, John 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. God has given everyone a conscience, but the Holy Spirit can activate that conscience because he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is working the world of Christians, but also non-Christians. Another way God gives light, or through his witnesses, and that's through his own people. And Jesus in Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, I mentioned this morning that the wise men came from the east, and I believe that God planted a wonderful witness in the east for the people of Babylon, and that was the prophet Daniel. And Daniel was alive some 6 centuries before Christ was born. We know these men were called wise men, or the Magi. And these wise men, Daniel, hundreds of years before, had a major influence on the wise men of Babylon. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, and that dream really troubled him. And what happened was that Daniel interpreted his dream, and Daniel got raised to a high position, Daniel 2 verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So hundreds of years before, Daniel the prophet had a major influence over the wise men of Babylon. And perhaps those wise men that came to Bethlehem, that came to Jerusalem originally, perhaps they were descendants of the wise men of old in the times of Daniel. And perhaps what Daniel had foretold about the coming of the Messiah was passed down to them. In the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel wrote about the angel Gabriel. Did you know that? It wasn't only Matthew that wrote about the angel Gabriel. Daniel wrote about the angel Gabriel, and he also wrote down prophecies of the coming Messiah. Well, God gave the wise men light. He gave them light through his special creation. God gave them light through his special revelation, through the word, I believe. And God gave them light through his special illumination. He put that special light in the sky for them. Matthew 2 verse 2, "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So perhaps if they lived in Babylon, they saw this miraculous light in the sky, and they knew that that was from God. Now, God had previously put a special light also over Bethlehem. Perhaps it was a Shekinah glory. And he'd done that for the shepherds, Luke 2 verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Plenty of people in the world know about Jesus today. The Muslims know about Jesus. They believe that Jesus was a prophet. We believe that Jesus was a prophet. But we believe more than a prophet, Jesus was the God-man. They don't believe that. We believe that he was the God-man who came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. You know, when a person wants to know God, I truly believe whatever nation they're on the earth, God will bring light to them. And I believe that these wise men were sensitive and they wanted to know the true God and they responded to the light that God gave them. What made the wise men wise? Well, first of all, they accepted God's light. Secondly, the wise men acknowledged God's scriptures. And I mentioned perhaps they learnt of the scriptures back in Babylon, but there's a direct reference here in the book of Matthew, Matthew 2 verse 4. We know what happened. The wise men come to Jerusalem. They don't go to Bethlehem first. They go to Jerusalem. They visit King Herod and they inquire where the Saviour's going to be born, Matthew 2 verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So this is Herod. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So the wise men come to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. Herod calls the chief priests and the scribes together to find out the prophecy of where Jesus is going to be born. They had the book of Micah, Micah 5 verse 2 they refer to, and they tell King Herod where Christ is going to be born, where he was born, and then King Herod gives directions to the wise men. So the wise men actually obeyed the scriptural revelation that was given by Herod. You know, non-Christians can pass on the word of God to people so that they might get converted. I was on Beaumont Street one night and I was handing out tracts, and this group of, I think, drunken young men headed towards me, and one of them snatched a tract out of my hand and he ran off laughing with this tract. And you know what? He stops outside, I think it was outside a restaurant, and he passes the tract on to someone else. He was mocking me. But he passed that tract on to someone else. God used Herod to pass the word of God onto the wise men who were seeking the Lord Jesus. And then they came to Jerusalem, remember, but he tells them the exact location according to the scriptures, because the high priest, the priests and the scribes had informed him of the city of Bethlehem. Herod passes on the scriptural revelation where Christ was going to be visited, where they were going to visit him at Bethlehem. Matthew 2 verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." I want you to notice that no special star appeared to Herod. That special light was given to the wise men back in the east, and then it reappeared after they left Herod's presence. But no special star was given to Herod. No special star was given to the scribes and the priests in that day. But the special star, the special light was given to them. Then more light they received after they responded to that special light back in the east. God gave them more light in the scriptures there. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, we see that there's three reactions to the revelation of the birth of Christ. Now, a lot of the nativity scenes get it wrong. The wise men came to a house. They didn't come to the manger. So when you see the manger scene with the shepherds and the wise men, that's actually wrong. It could be up to 2 years later when the wise men came and found the Lord Jesus at the house. But we see that there's three reactions to the revelation of the birth of Christ. And here's the three reactions. There is apathy we see in Matthew chapter 2. There's anger we see in Matthew chapter 2. And then there's adoration that we see in Matthew chapter 2. I reckon there was apathy by the priests and the scribes. Have you ever seen a manger scene where the priests and the scribes are all around the manger? No, I haven't. We read of them. They've got the prophecy in their hands. They know what Micah had said hundreds of years before. They tell King Herod that the Saviour is going to be born. They indicate the Saviour is going to be born in Bethlehem. But we don't read that they rushed down to Bethlehem to find the Saviour. I think they were apathetic about the first coming of the Lord Jesus. You know, it's similar today. There's an apathy about the first coming of the Lord Jesus. But in the religious community, there's an apathy about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And it doesn't surprise me. What happened with the religious people had the scriptures there in the days of the Lord Jesus, of his birth. We've got the religious of all denominations. They have the scriptures about the second coming of the Lord Jesus and of the last days, but they are apathetic. Largely, the pulpits today are silent about the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the last days. Well, there was apathy. Apathy by these religious folk. 7 miles they were. I've been to Jerusalem and I've been to Bethlehem. It's only about 7 miles. 7 miles from God in the flesh. And they couldn't be bothered to go down to Bethlehem. 7 miles from the Saviour of the world, and they couldn't be bothered to go down to Bethlehem. 7 miles from God incarnate, and they couldn't be bothered to visit the Saviour. How sad. How sad. Well, there's three reactions to the birth of Christ. There was apathy. Secondly, there was anger. Herod was angered on hearing about the birth of the King of the Jews. Look at Matthew 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. You remember that Herod wanted them to come back to him because he said that he wanted to worship the Lord, that he wanted to worship Jesus, and he wanted them to tell him the exact location of the Lord Jesus, and they didn't obey him. Herod was angry. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. There was apathy at the birth of the Lord Jesus, and there was anger at the birth of the Lord Jesus, and Herod was so angry, he conducted a murderous campaign of all the baby boys in the districts there, as the scripture says, from 2 years old and under. Herod couldn't bear losing his throne. I want to say to you, who's on your throne? He couldn't bear to have a rival king. And you know, there's people all over Australia, they can't bear to have a rival king. They won't have Jesus as king in their life. They won't have Jesus in charge. There was anger at the birth of the Lord Jesus. And Herod wanted to cancel Jesus. And that's what people want to do today at Christmas time. They want to cancel Jesus. They want you to say happy holiday, but don't name the name of the Lord Jesus. There was anger. You know, there's still anger today. There's anger against Christians. I was driving past Jesmond Shops the other day, and I thought, oh, I'll go to the post office there. And as I was driving past, I saw 4 Jehovah's Witnesses out on the footpath near the crossing where people cross over to go to the shops. I thought, I'll go to the post office, and then I'll take a track to them, one of these Corgi Christmas tracks. I'll take one of them to them and I'll talk to them about the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. So when I got there, no one was talking to the Jehovah's Witnesses. So I began to talk with them and began to say to them that Christ was God, that Christ came. And I quoted Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Well, one of the Jehovah's Witnesses ladies got really agitated. She got angry. And I said, "Jesus is God." I end up saying, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for Jehovah's Witnesses because they don't recognise the Saviour of the world. I said, "You don't celebrate Christmas, do you?" No, they don't celebrate Christmas. But there was agitation and there was anger as I tried to share with them that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, translation changes that. They say the Word was a God. False translation. Colossians 2 verse 9, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." 1 John 2 verse 23, "Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." Jehovah's Witnesses aren't believers. They need to know that Jesus is God. They need to know that Jesus is God and he came and he died on the cross for our sins. There was apathy at the news of the birth of Jesus. There was anger at the news of the birth of Jesus. One more, there was adoration at the news of the birth of Jesus. And that's the proper response for any person when they hear that the Saviour's been born. Matthew 2 verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they'd come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." It's interesting that the wise men conversed. They stood and conversed before an earthly king, but they fell down before the heavenly king. They fell down in adoration. They presented the Lord Jesus with three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was the most precious thing that they could give the Lord Jesus, apart from themselves. It was a gift fit for a king. Jesus was born as a king, Jesus died as a king, and Jesus is coming as a king. And have you bowed your knee before the Lord Jesus? Have you acknowledged that he is king of your life? When Gabriel announced the birth of Christ to Mary, he said, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Are you looking forward to righteous governments? Are you looking forward to the day where the government is not going to try and please the people? Are you looking forward to the day where the governor, the supreme governor, is going to be the Lord Jesus and he's going to reign from Jerusalem? I am. I'm sick of ungodly governments. Doesn't seem to matter who you vote in these days. They're ungodly. I'm looking forward to the time where true royalty, where a true, honest politician reigns, more than a politician, a king, the King of Kings. Well, they gave him gold that speaks of royalty. They gave him frankincense that speaks of deity. Frankincense was used in the temple and the tabernacle for the worship of God. And in their worship, bowing down before the Lord Jesus, they were acknowledging him, that he was God Almighty. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." The wise men presented gold for a king, frankincense for God. And they also presented myrrh. Now, what was myrrh used for? Well, myrrh was used to give pain relief. You might remember what the Romans used myrrh for. They used myrrh to give pain relief to dying criminals. And also, myrrh was a spice that was used in the burial of people. Mark 15, verse 23, This is talking about the Lord Jesus on the cross, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And then myrrh was also used in the burial of the Lord Jesus. Mark 19, verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Myrrh was an expensive spice. It was used for dying men, and it was also used to bury the dead. And I believe that the Holy Spirit was using those three gifts given to the Lord Jesus at his birth, and those three gifts speak to us today of Jesus' dominion. They speak of Jesus' deity, and they speak of Jesus' death. His dominion, his deity, and his death. Well, what made the wise men wise? Well, the wise men accepted the light, and God gives all people some light in relation to himself. Secondly, the wise men acknowledged the scriptures. And thirdly, the wise men adored the Saviour. Can I ask you on this Christmas day, are you a wise man or are you a wise woman? Have you accepted the light that God has given? The light of creation, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Have you acknowledged the scriptures? This book here is the most unique book in the entire world. It's unmatched by any other book. It tells the truth about today, it tells the truth about yesterday, and it tells the truth about tomorrow. No other book matches this book, which is the Bible. Have you accepted the scriptures? And thirdly, the wise men adored the Saviour. Has there come a time in your life where you realise that you need to worship the Lord Jesus? Not only just because he's the creator, but because the Lord Jesus is the redeemer. He paid for our sins on the cruel cross of Calvary. He was born as a saviour. Have you adored the Lord Jesus? You know, your wealth, everything you have belongs to the saviour, and your worship belongs to the saviour. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants our bodies to serve him. Our witness belongs to Jesus, and we also need to tell the world of a Saviour born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? If you are, you'll acknowledge what Christ has done for you, and you tell the good news to others.